Oh Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of hit a hiatus for what I want to share today because I've been following through a sort of a track, and next week I'm going to do something really quite different in terms of the sermon space. But, you know, that's just to put a teaser out there really. So I just want us to look at the life of John slightly, but more particularly to talk about the nature of God's kingdom. Because that was something, as you'll hear, that John anticipated. See, John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus. And at times the Jews were eagerly looking for the coming of the Messiah. And this was why they all trooped out to see him at the river Jordan. The literal translation was that they were on their tiptoes with expectation. You've got that kind of, you know, like kids on Christmas morning, you know, tiptoes with expectation. Or maybe it's the parents that are tiptoes with expectation, they'll get along to sleep, I'm not sure. But, you know, that was the kind of energy that existed. And when he heard about Jesus' new ministry, John was really happy. And he said that Jesus must become more important and I must become less. You see, for John, Jesus had come from God and was filled with the Spirit of God, and he believed that Jesus would bring a new order, the kingdom of God, with endless resources that are beyond our imagination. And if we are going to be effective and fully represent God, we must appreciate what it means to be members of that kingdom. Now, many Christians get this wrong. They believe that the kingdom of God can only be entered beyond death. Now, if you were thinking that, can I suggest that you rearrange your thinking on that? Because that is not biblical. You see, God, our Father, intends for us to receive kingdom membership as a gift from him now when we commit our lives to Christ. That is the entry into the kingdom, not some other event. And we get this not because we deserve such a generous gift, because we don't, or that we're able to make ourselves worthy of such a gift, because we can't. He is the God of grace, and he wants us to receive his gift, and he wants to teach us how to live his kingdom life, filled with his kingdom power, using his kingdom resources by exercising kingdom faith. So how can all this become real for us? Well, to begin with, we need to recognize that the kingdom of God reflects the nature of the king. Now, this is an observable principle in life as we live it. In business, for instance, the policy decisions of management are worked out on the shop floor and in the marketing of the product. That's what that construct is. In schools, the nature of the principal will decide the whole ethos of the school. It's discipline, priorities and objectives. In the home, the leadership or lack of it will be reflected in the whole family. Children sometimes uncomfortably are a reflection of their parents, aren't they? It's dreadful when you hear your father coming out of your own mouth. And you look at, you know, these children and you think, why are they doing that? Now, my dad screwed his nose up when he backed the car. You know, I've spent my life trying not to screw my nose up as I backed the car. I don't know why he did it. I think it's because it hooked his glasses up a bit so he could see. Yep. It'll happen to you too. A church becomes a reflection of its leadership, which is kind of a bit disturbing for me, maybe. People can only go where they are led. The principle is clear. Those in leadership have a profound effect on the people they lead. And this is true in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God reflects the nature of the king of heaven. So if you want to know what kind of kingdom God offers us, we need to know what kind of God he is. It just is logical. It's the way it is. And there are five characteristics of God that help us grasp the idea of the kingdom and kingdom life. Now, I know that we know all these well, but let us remind ourselves. God is holy. He is whole, complete, perfect. He is above and beyond all he has made. Something of his beauty and majesty can be seen in creation, yet he is far greater than creation. He is righteous. He is right in all he does. He is just. The bottom line of God is he just. He is just and he acts with justice. We know well that he is love, and he loves us with deep affection. His love is dependable and unconditional. It is a love that cannot be kept, it must be given away. And God is gracious. He offers us his kingdom and kingdom membership. It's an act of his grace to do that. Now to these we can add that he is almighty, he is life, joy, peace, he is our provider, our healer, his truth, he is faithful, he is our father and savior. Everything he is and everything he does is positive. We miss out on so much by not grasping this truth. How can we know? Well, quite simply by knowing him. There is no other way. But for many will say, but I don't see that God is a God of love. I was hearing some interview on TV just recently from a known agnostic, and he was asked, well, if you get to the gates of heaven, what would you say to God? And he'd say, well, I'd say, how dare you? How dare you cause, you know, this condition, whatever it was he was talking about in children, and how dare you do these kinds of things? Well, we've got to understand that was never in God's agenda. Never as an intention. Never what he wanted. As a consequence of the human rebellion against God, all those things happen. We call it sin. But what often happens is people become spectators of God. And if we are simply spectators of God, we will never know and experience the true positive nature of God. Nor will we experience the real strength of being kingdom members. As spectators, there is good reason to fear the judgment of God. As spectators, the Christian life will appear to be full of do's and don'ts. As spectators, God will appear to be cold and indifferent to the plight of the human race. As spectators, we'll blame God for all that goes wrong and is terrible in this life rather than accepting our responsibility for choices we have made that precipitate some of that trouble. But as we experience the nature of the King, we'll come to know that the life of his kingdom is holy, righteous and just. A kingdom of love and power. The closer we come to the King, the greater the liberty we will find. It is a principle. The more power and freedom you give away, the greater the freedom you will possess. Now that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But you think about dictatorships. Dictatorships pull power to themselves, don't they? And then they become afraid that people will do things in rebellion against them. So they keep pulling power all the time in, and they reduce freedom. And often in the midst of that, people serve them out of fear. Not out of love. But if you have a leader who gives power away, who is generous in their time and gifts it to you, it earns a response, doesn't it? And you say, here's somebody I can lead. Here's somebody I can trust. Here's somebody I know who's got my back regardless of what happens. Isn't that right? So the more power you give away, the more freedom you give away, the more powerful you become and the more freedom you possess. And that's what God does. And I'm so grateful for that. Because all the time he is wanting you to rise to your full potential as a person. Not be bound down in fear and in judgment and all the stuff that enshrines and sometimes entraps our life. Malachi describes that liberty like this: but to you who obey me, my saving power will rise on you like the sun and bring healing like the sun's rays. And you'll be free and happy as calves let out of the stall. And I was saying to them at 9 o'clock this morning, now just forget about age for a moment. And just imagine that you were let loose to jump out of the stalls like a young calf. Kind of like you giggling. I mean, can you imagine yourself with such free abandonment? But you see, the thing is, in the heart you can do that, even if the joints don't allow. There is a freedom, and out of that freedom is to say, this is a God who actually wants us to journey with him and wants us to rise to our full potential as people. Yes, everything about the King is positive, and everything about the kingdom is positive. Now, there's one called Sarah Bessie, who is the voice for postmodern and emerging women in the church on issues from mothering to politics, from theology to eschatology. She's got a broad perspective, hasn't she? And she wrote this. It's a long quote, but I just think it's just magnificent. So the kingdom of God is a pearl of great price. It's the yeast for the good bread. The kneading and the thumping, the warmth and the smell of bread and just a little bit of butter. The smallest seed of a shrub. It's the mighty tree of life. It's treasure in a field worth everything. It's a bonfire for dancing and laughter. It's stars on the water and sand between your toes. It's family blood that thickens and holds and pumps in every life. And it's friendship that needs no words. Only a raised eyebrow for an entire conversation to happen. Because really, what is family? But this and all of us in this together. And I think that the kingdom is every good and perfect moment in our life, serving as a taste, just a small taste, of what God truly intended. It's making our tinies laugh. Don't you like doing that? It's sleeping babes curled into their mother's breast and the heft of holding another soul. The silent nights of snow and cold water in your throat on a hot day. It's wisdom and beauty, love, peace and joy. And then it's also good coffee and real food, late afternoon sun and homemade quilts. It's the renewal of morning and the intimacy of night. She said, I also think the kingdom is every evil and terrible moment in life redeemed. It's a kingdom of inversions, of the least being the greatest, and finding that sweet wholeness in the desert seasons. The child and the aged loved and honoured. Culture of honour. Remember me talking about that a year or three back? A culture of honour for one another, regardless of age. It's a gorgeous, crazy family that listens and talks too loud and will love you harder in your weakest moment. It's art and co-creation. It's music and theology in every step. It's for the peaceful and the meek, the loving and the bold. But none of us are really that. So we put on wedding clothes and run down an aisle because it's also a wedding and a feast. It's beer raised while hollering cheers, or rum. It's a good wine, glasses clinked with a sparkle and eyes meeting underneath the star-filled sky. It's innocent and whole, forgiveness and redemption. It's giving money away because there is a bigger treasure in the giving than in the hoarding. The kingdom is an about face. It's eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that understand. It's a mountaintop moment of inspiration. And it's the mystery of finding God in the smallest and the most mundane of moments too. It's that quiet that presses in on your ears when you are underwater, lungs bursting and then breaking the surface to gulp in life and hear the cheers of your new family baptized. It's play and work equally nourishing your soul and windows open in the springtime. This father, this brother, son, brother, this Holy Spirit breathes life, its doors wide open, and it is instead of what is not here in the kingdom. But it's also the not to. No weeping, no sorrow, no sadness, no pain. Nothing broken, nothing hurting. This is the kingdom of God. Amazing pile of images, isn't it? Just one rolling off and into the other. As we move towards the new year, let us decide to fully embrace our positive God and let his positive kingdom life become the transformer of our attitudes and relationships, so that we not only grow as a loving, grace-filled people, but also as a people with a positive view of life. Let us become a people after God's own heart. Let us be bold and courageous people of his kingdom who won't play it safe, but risks everything for this kingdom and its king. Lord God, we thank you that you call us on this extraordinary adventure of being your kingdom members. Lord, help us to keep pressing in to know you and the freedom and the calling you placed in our lives. That, Lord, we can change the circumstances of life we find ourselves in as we embrace your grace and strength. Knowing that as we walk through the tough stuff, you are there with us. Knowing that as we celebrate and allow your joy to flood our souls, so fresh light comes from us and to those around us. Lord, help us to risk everything for your kingdom, knowing that you'll keep meeting us with the resources we need in each day. And we are grateful. Amen.